All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Strange Music Podcast. My name is Jeff Nelson, and I hope you're all having a wonderful day. Today we have none other than a producer that you all know and love, and he goes by the name of Seven. Today we're going to talk about his heavy involvement on two very anticipated Strange Music albums, one of them being Brother Lynchhung's Manable Lector. Maybe you've heard of it. It is out now. And we have Cut Calhoun's Black Gold, which is available for pre-sale. Make sure you go to strangemusicinc.com and get your pre-order on for Black Gold. Manable Lector is available now on iTunes, Best Buy, and also strangemusicinc.net. But without further ado, Seven, thank you for coming down here and getting on the line with us. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad I could be able to do this today.
Yeah, good to have you back on, man. It's been a minute. So my first question is, I mean, speaking of that, how has the workload been treating you? Because in the past, you know, 4 or 5 months, you've single-handedly produced 3 entire EPs and then some. Your production has been on Cess Crew's 13, Cut Calhoun's Kelvin, Tex Ebaugh, and Boiling Point, Chris Calico's Nevermind. And now with Manable Lector, you pretty much produced the entire thing except for one track produced by Axis. What has that experience been like for you?
Yeah, now hearing you say it is actually kind of crazy. Hearing you name back all the albums and everything, I never really got a chance to digest it because everything's been moving so fast, like all the projects. But no, it's been good. You know, it's been busy. It's been just keeping me, you know, super busy. But, you know, I'm glad that I've been able to be such a big part of all those projects.
Yeah, you're always a hardworking dude. You've always stayed pretty busy, you know. But, I mean, what is this experience? How have you grown from this experience? Because I don't know if there's that many producers who kind of have to take such a workload.
Well, the thing about it, you know, that one thing that's been different with these projects is that I've been able to work with the artists a lot more, just one-on-one when I'm doing the majority of the production on the albums. I think that, you know, it can make for a more cohesive project, you know, when, I'm a fan of projects that only have one producer or a few producers, you know, like focusing directly on the artist and, you know, trying to create a lane for that album. And I've always wanted to do that. So, you know, essentially that's what I've been able to do on all these projects that I've been doing recently. So, you know, I mean, I feel like I've grown a lot just being able to exercise the whole idea you know, being the main producer and developing a sound for the project one-on-one with the artist, you know, rather than just, as opposed to just, you know, making beats and sending over beats and letting them just choose from batches of beats. Now we get to sit down and really craft a project from the ground up.
Yeah, and I definitely want to tackle that here in a bit, especially with Black Gold. But, I mean, I know you and I have talked a lot about old Death Row albums where it seemed like they did the whole thing in the same room, which is definitely kind of a lost art these days.
Yeah,
so really cool to see you guys doing that. And which brings us to Manable Lector, which just came out. When you listen back on this final project, on the final product, what do you think about it?
You know, I think that, I mean, I could tell a growth, both me and Lynch. I think that me and Lynch's, you know, working relationship, you know, shines the most on this album. I mean, you can listen to the album now and tell, like, you know, that we've been working together, you know, for years. You know, I mean, we've been doing it since Dinner and a Movie, you know. And I think that you can tell that most. You know, our chemistry is really, really, you know, at its highest point on this project. I mean, I love the way the album came out. I think, you know, Lynch did his best. You know, I really tried to take it there with the production, you know, since it's the finale of the trilogy, you know, I knew this had to be the highlight, you know, so I tried my best to take it to that point, and I think it did.
Awesome, awesome. Now, this album, you know, took quite a bit of time to make.
Yeah.
I think you can kind of tell in the end that it's very finely crafted. Do you think it was worth the wait for all, if you were a fan?
Yeah, I mean, I do. You know, the thing about this album is, you know, thinking about it now, I mean, yeah, we worked on this album for over a year, which is unique because a lot of Strange albums don't get that kind of attention for that long. You know what I mean? Like, we don't normally have like a year to work on a project. And you know, when I was kind of preparing some of the files for the final mixdown on Lynch's album when we were working on it, I looked back at some of the older beats from the beginning of the album, and man, I'm just thinking, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of beats and song ideas and different things that me and Lynch worked on, you know, a year ago that was supposed to be on this album, you know, and now listening to the final product, going back and comparing it to some of the ideas that we had in the beginning, you know, I'm really glad that we got that time because it made it that much better of an album, you know?
Right. I mean, out of all the songs that are on there now, how many were around in those beginning stages? I mean,
barely, like none of them, you know, none of the, I mean, we probably had enough material to make a whole nother album, you know, based off of the stuff that, you know, from the beginning, from the first, you know, first 6 months that we worked on this album, a lot of that stuff we didn't even end up using. But so yeah, all the stuff that's on the album was the most recent material.
So why do you guys think, I mean, so many of these got rejected? Were they not up to Lynch's standard? I mean, not the beats, but I mean, just the songs. Like, what do you think caused this kind of extra filter, I guess?
Yeah, I don't think it was a matter of the songs not being, you know, up to par or them even getting rejected. I just think that we had so much time that, you know, that the ideas and concepts and direction that we wanted to take with the album just changed, you know what I mean, over time. Like, you know, if you work on something long enough, over a year, I mean, the whole idea can be totally different, you know, in the end than what it was a year ago. I mean, it's different if you work on an album for, you know, a month, you know, because you have a pretty focused idea and you know what you got to get done. But over a year, I mean, so much can change, you know. And it was just a matter of us having so much time and being able to make so many songs. The old ones just, you know, kind of sifted out, and the newest material was best, you know, and that's really all it was.
I got you. And so those new songs that were better probably raised the standard and to where you guys were like, these old ones aren't going to make the cut anymore.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we got to a point where, like, oh, man, you know, the next one, I can remember, like, me and Lynch, like, having these talks or whatever, you know, every time we do a new song, we'd be like, okay, all right, the next one has to top that. If it doesn't top that, then, you know, that's how we know it's a no-go. And we just kind of worked that way. We were like, every, you know, song had to top the last one. You know, started to make the old ones go away, you know what I mean? We had so much good material. But that was kind of the goal, is just to make the next one top the last one.
Very Darwinian, for sure. Now, how is collaborating with Lynch different than the other artists that you work with?
Well, you know, Lynch's mind works differently, you know. He's got a different way of constructing songs. You know, he's a weird guy, you know, when it comes to writing songs, and his the way that he does it. I mean, he'll write a whole song to nothing, and then we'll make the beat later. You know what I mean? I've never really worked with any artists that have done that before, you know. I mean, Lynch is one of the few that think like that. You know what I mean? He'll come up with a song title, and then, yeah, and the whole idea for the song, and then we make the beat around that. I mean, he'll even write the lyrics, you know, and then we'll make the beat based off of that. He'll have the whole album structured song titles, and everything before we've made any of the songs, you know. So it's interesting and different to get to work that way, you know, with an artist.
Yeah, that's very different, especially, you know, when you work with Tech so much. I mean, he really I know he could do anything he wants, but usually he's looking for that beat to tell him what to do. So this is pretty interesting. Now, I know you were a Lynch fan growing up. Did you ever think you'd be working on one of the most important projects of his career? And how does that feel?
Well, yeah, no, I was a huge Lynch fan, especially when Loaded was out. I was in high school when that album came out. My whole, sophomore year of high school, maybe my junior year or whatever, I mean, that was, like, the soundtrack to my life during that time. And, I can honestly say, you know, I didn't think I would ever get a chance to work with him. I guess looking at it now, it's kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Like, when I really, like, everything moves so fast all the time that I never get to sit back and really just, you know, have the album, you know, and put it into my CD player and my car or whatever, and just sit back and, like, look at the credits and say, wow, you know, I produced this. You know what I mean? It never happens because my life is just moving so fast with all these projects. But, you know, in those moments that I do get to really try to digest that, it's crazy. You know what I mean? It's, like, surreal.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, so how old were you when you were, like, growing up listening? You were, like, probably in high school, something like that?
Yeah. When I was in high school, I was like, in eighth or ninth grade, you know. All of the friends that I had, you know, listened to Lynch and Season of the Sickness. I mean, that's what it was, you know what I mean? There was all these different kind of, like, legends and everything about Lynch and, you know, about him being crazy and this and that and whatnot, I can remember those days, you know, and listening to Season and Loaded, which was my favorite album that Lynch has done. That was what we listened to.
What was it about his music that, you know, made you want to listen to him so much?
I think he just, like, his music was, at the time, it was, like, as gangster as it could come, you know, as you could get, you know. Like, I mean, I listened to, you know, when I was younger, lots of N.W.A. and Ice Cube and lots of, like, super, you know, gangster. I mean, I came up on that, you know, Ice-T. And so Lynch was sort of, like, a new era of that. I mean, he was, like, as hard as you could get, you know, at the time. And, you know, when I was young, that's what I wanted to listen to, you know, the hard shit. So, and he was dark, and what Lynch did was actually really new. I mean, nobody had done what he was doing. You know, he was the originator of that, of what he did, you know, completely, totally original. There was nobody like Lynch. That was the shit then.
Awesome. Well, you know, quite a journey, man, quite a journey. I can definitely identify, you know, because we're about the same age, smoked a lot to Lynch, and then you interview him later. It's a pretty cool thing. Congratulations on that. Now, up to this album, Manable Lector. You guys put a lot of work into this one. Is this your favorite album of the trilogy?
Yeah, this one and Dinner in a Movie. You know, those two albums are my favorite. They're different in different ways. You know, Dinner and a Movie, Lynch was, you know what I mean, he hadn't, like, made music in a while, and he was super hungry. You know, it sounded really, like, fresh, I guess. You know what I mean? I don't know how else to describe it, but that album had this special spark, you know. And then this album, I feel like it's, like, Lynch at his best. You know what I mean? Like, delivery, lyrically, he's really on top of it on this album, you know what I mean? And then the production that I was able to come up with on this, you know, I'm really proud of what I was able to do. I wondered, you know, going into this album, how we were going to pull it off, if I'd be able to, you know, rise to the occasion on this one. And and you know, make the best of the three, or just make the finale what it should be. And I was glad that I was able to come through. At least I felt like I came through. You know, seems like everybody else likes it, so you know, we'll have to see as more reviews come in and everything. But yeah.
What are some of your proudest moments on this album in terms of production?
There's a couple different beats on there that, you know, the beat to Stabbed is one of my my favorites. You know, one thing that was unique or interesting on this album is me and Lynch's birthdays are pretty close to each other. It is like in the same week. And I remember sitting down like on my birthday, which is January 6th, and that's when we were working on the album. And I was like, oh man, you know, since it's my birthday or whatever, I've got to like, you know, make like the craziest beat for Lynch. And that was the day that I think that Stabbed was the beat that I made that day. And you know, at the end of the day or whatever, I sent it to him, and I'm like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's my birthday, and this is what I made or whatever. And you know, he went like crazy about that beat. And then a few days later on his birthday, you know, he hit me in like, all right, you sent me the craziest one for your birthday, so you know, you need to send me an even crazier one today for my birthday. So I was like, all right. You know, I had like it was really, you know, high that the bar had been set. So I sat down that day or whatever and made another crazy one. I think that was the day I made Crocodile on his birthday. So and those two are like still like probably my favorites, I think, from the album, Crocodile and Stab, those two beats. I just remember just sitting down and having such a big goal to meet on those days or whatever. It all worked out. I guess those were meant to be that way.
If you were to take a song from this album and play it to someone who doesn't know what Lynch is about at all, and you're like, well, listen to this, what song would that be?
Meat Cleaver.
What is it about that would make you pick Meat?
Because Meat Cleaver showcases Lynch, like, within his, like, element, you know what I mean? Like, the best that he can be. I mean, what he does on that song, like, delivery-wise, just like, oh, my God, you know, and lyrically, I mean, he just kills that. And that actually, that particular song and that particular beat was one of the older ones. That one was, man, I mean, that beat is pretty old. That's like from like 2 years ago or something, like a year and a half ago. It's probably like one of the first ones that he chose for the album. He didn't record anything to it for a really long time, you know, and I was actually surprised that he wanted to still use that beat. But then when I heard what he had done to it, you know, it was just like, oh man, like so like amazing. I think that like his delivery and, you know, what his delivery is the best on that song to me, you know what I mean? I think that song would sum up to someone who hasn't heard Lynch before what he's capable of doing.
Definitely agree with you on that one. Looking back, my last question about this, looking back through the entire process of making these trilogies and the outcome of everything, would you go back and do it all over again?
Would I go back and do the trilogies again?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I know, you know, it took a lot, and there's a lot of back and forth, a lot of work. Is there anything you would do differently, or anything that you wish you knew then that you know now?
Nah, I don't think so. I think that the trilogy came together how it was supposed to, exactly how it was supposed to be. Yeah.
Good. Awesome. Well, without further ado, we're going to take a few callers. People, if you're out there listening, call 347-994-3066. Be sure to press 1 so we can screen your call so you can ask your questions to 7. Let's get to Nick from Oklahoma City. You're on the line with 7.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. All right, now, everybody wants to know this question, and I figure as Strange's number one producer, you could give me an answer for it. will Eminem be on Tech's new album?
I don't know.
I don't know yet. You don't know yet? Are y'all trying to work something out for it?
I mean, that's been something that we've all wanted to do for a really long time. The answer to that is yes, always yes. But will it come to be? I don't know yet. I hope so. All right.
All right. Nick from Oklahoma City. Let's get to Brennan. Brennan, you're on the line with Seven.
Hey, Seven, what's up?
What's up, man?
Nothing much. Want to say that I've been a big fan of your production over the years. I think it's been just absolutely top-notch.
Thank you.
Like you mentioned earlier, there's like a number of songs that you did that were kind of left off or whatever, like, and, you know, I'm wondering if there are beats that are old or whatever that, you know, sort of never see the light of day, or does someone else get to use them, or, like, how would that work?
I just kind of, you know, the beats that we didn't use or were songs and didn't become anything, I just leave them be. You know what I mean? They're just there, and we just throw them in the vault, and maybe they'll get heard again someday, or maybe they won't, but, you know, I just kind of leave it alone. So I never really recycle beats like that.
Fair enough. Well, do you think any of those previous Brother Lynch songs that didn't make the album, will they be released on, like, some EP or something like that?
I don't know. You know, we did that before with Tech, you know, with some of his older songs. And I don't know, you know, I think it would be dope at some point for people to hear that. You know, I would like for it to be at a time when everyone's been able to digest Manipal Lecter. I think sometime in the future that might be a dope idea to do something like that.
Sweet. I'd love to hear that, honestly.
Yeah, I think it could be cool.
Well, thank you very much, dude.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for calling in, Brennan. And for the other callers on there, we're going to make sure we get to you on the next caller segment. Like I said, if you're out there, we are talking to Seven, producer of a lot of shit, going all the way back to Ever Ready, if I'm not mistaken. So make sure you call in 347-994-3066. Right now, we're going to talk about Cut Calhoun's Black Gold, which is on strangemusicinc.net for pre-order. Make sure you go on and pre-order that. Now, you and Cut have just freshly developed this working relationship where he's coming to you for a lot of sounds for his album. What do you like the most about working with Cut Calhoun?
Well, Cut's the kind of artist that I think that he can conquer a lane, you know, at Strange that hasn't been done before, you know, that nobody's really tried to tackle. You know, Cut's got his sound, he's got his fan base, and so, you know, I think it's important that we still, you know, stick with what's always worked with him. But, you know, Cut was like super open to trying something new, you know, and trying to, you know, just continue, I guess, to develop what he's doing, you know, his sound and everything. And everybody, you know, not everybody's open to that, you know what I mean? Like, the other artists aren't really open to doing that kind of thing for the most part. And Cut was. So that alone was, like, the dopest thing working with him. It was just that we can do whatever, you know what I mean? It's kind of open to do whatever we want to do.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think are some important elements to keep in mind when you make a beat for Cut Calhoun?
I want him to sound, you know, super current, you know what I mean? And super, but still him, you know what I mean? It's with Cut, I'm always trying to remember to kind of break boundaries, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I want it to sound fresh, but I still want it to have elements of what's him, you know. So, you know, with him we use lots of 808s and lots of, I guess I don't really know how to describe the sound, a little bit of a trap type of feel. Yeah, but still cut, I you know what I mean? It's just his own thing, you know. But I get to play around in those tempos that are more like the trap type of feel. And, you know, to me, like, Kurt makes hits, you know what I mean? Like, he makes stuff that can be on the radio right now, you know. And Black Gold is that way, you know. A lot of that album feels like, you know, for real, like radio hits, you know what I mean? But but he didn't do it in a way, that wasn't still true to who he was as an artist. So it's going to be an interesting album. I'm hyped to see what everybody thinks about it.
When saying all this, reminds me of Self-Preservation, because that's very now current, but still very original.
Yeah.
When you guys talked, what did he tell you? What did he tell you that he's looking for?
You know, he didn't really. You know, we really didn't talk a whole lot about what he was looking for real. You know, we just made music. You know, and we just kind of found a groove. You know what I mean? And found what worked, and, you know, and figured out what worked and what didn't work, kind of like a trial and error type of deal, you know what I mean? I kind of had an idea for what I wanted to hear Cut on, and Cut had an idea of what he wanted to do, you know, but I just kind of made beats until we got into a groove, and I was kind of like, oh, okay, you know, I see what works, you know? Well, I mean, you know, we made songs also that, you know, we thought that it would work in the beginning, you know, with the beats and everything, and we recorded stuff, and it was like, nah, that's not it, you know what I mean? That's not Cut, you know what I mean? We just experimented, you know, every way possible with him to make sure that, you know, we're doing the right thing with the sound.
In what ways are you able to stretch your production by working with Cut? And I mean to say, in what ways, in what directions can you take your production that you can't really take with other artists?
Well, I mean, I can make stuff that's radio, you know. I don't know if, you know, everybody doesn't get to hear just the stuff that I do that's more, I don't want to say mainstream, but more just radio, you know, because not everybody wants those kind of beats, you know what I mean? They sort of have a, they got what they do, you know what I mean? Lynch, Tech, Chris, everybody, you know, Seth's crew, they have their sound, they do what they do. So I don't get to make songs that could potentially be, like, you know, super hits, like, all the time, that, you know, they have, like, a street type of a feel, you know what I mean? And that's what I got to do with Cut. So it gives everybody a chance, I think, to hear that side of my production.
Do you like working with Strange in that way, in that you are able to probably, I mean, chase a new direction maybe as soon as you get tired of doing a different one?
Well, yeah, because all the artists are different, you know. Everybody's, like, I mean, to me, like, pretty different. You know, they all have very distinctive sounds, and no one is like the next one, you know. So as soon as one project's done, I get to hop onto the next one, and it's totally different, you know. That's another reason why I can never really, you know, recycle beats and have them leak over to the next project, because it never works, you know. If I make a beat for Chris or make a beat for Lynch or something like that, it's not like I can place it on, you know, Seth's crew's album, or it's not like Tech's going to use it or anything like that, because it sounds nothing like what he's doing, you know, which is good. And that kind of lets me always, like, reboot my mind every time we start working on a new album.
Are you finding, I mean, you know, there's a lot of producers with, you know, certain methodologies and stuff. Do you have to reinvent the way you work to accommodate some of the sounds that you're trying to achieve?
Sometimes, yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, I just got to step back for a week, you know what I mean, sometimes I have a slow start getting going on projects and stuff, you know, and kind of hop into it a few weeks late, you know, or a week late, because I'm just trying to wrap my mind around what we need to do, you know what I mean? What needs to be done on the album. I mean, I don't want to just be just making beats and sending them over, you know what I mean? Just, you know, whatever. I want there to be like a vision. I want it to be like, you know, I want us to have an idea of what this album should sound like and what it, you know, what it needs to feel like. So it's not just another album. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I guess, is that the best part of producing an entire project? Because I don't, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know too many times before, you know, late 2012 and this year that you've really honed
yeah.
entire albums. I know there's been a few times,
no,
but
yeah.
so consistently.
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, on Strangeland, I did a lot of the production. And, you know, that was because there was a specific sound, you know, that Tech wanted to do on Welcome to Strangeland. It was like, you know what I mean? He wanted this the sound, you know. And then on Kicking and Screaming, which was the first one that I did majority of the production on, that was just, that was another album, you know, where Chris had a specific idea, specific sound in mind, and we kind of just tackled that whole vision. And the thing is, like, I mean, I think that there are a lot of benefits to having outside producers involved with it too, you know. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just like albums that sound cohesive, you know. It sounds like there was like a true chemistry between the artist and the producer.
Now, with this album, Black Gold, did, you know, if you look at the behind-the-scenes footage of you guys working together on Kelvin, was it like that for this album as well? Did you go to the studio and sit there while he was recording?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there was really no downtime between Kelvin and in this album. I mean, it was like, I mean, I didn't even take a week off, you know what I mean? We just finished working on the songs for Kelvin, and then a few days later, we were working on Black Gold. You know what I mean? It was not, it was almost just seamless, you know what I mean? So this album is a lot like Kelvin. I mean, it's that direction.
That feel, yeah. What do you like most about this album, Black Gold?
Well, I think that this album does for Cut what Kicking and Screaming did for Chris, you know, which kind of lets them come out with who they are as an artist, you know. And I always thought that the Kicking and Screaming did that for Chris, you know. I know that Chris had his lane, you know, and he had it figured out, but I think that Kicking and Screaming even pushed it further, like, you know, really helped people see who he is, you know, be like, oh, you know, like they get it now, you know. And I think Black Gold does this for Cut. I think that, you know, you get it now. It's like, oh wow, you know, I see what he can do, you know, with a sound like of his own, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's exciting to hear. Kicking and Screaming was definitely a game changer for Chris. And I guess, the last question I asked you about Manimal Lector, I'm going to ask you about this album, Black Gold. If you had to pick a song from Black Gold to play to someone who didn't know what Calhoun was all about, which song would that be?
I actually think that Self-Preservation is a really good song. I'm so glad that they, you know, use that as the song to launch this, because I think that is the song. You know, there's some songs on this album that man really just embody like who Cut is. You know, I can't wait for everyone to hear it, because you know, just when you hear it or whatever, it's just like, man, you know. There's another song on the album called Hello and Goodbye, which is another one that's, you know, when you hear it, it's just like, wow, you know, I never really heard Cut do that before, you know, and you've always been capable of doing it, you know, and it's just like, you know, now we can finally do it. We did it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you heard it from the man, guys. Black Gold is online for pre-order right now. Go to strangemusicinc.net. Make sure you get that. Right now, we're going to take a few more callers. Let's get to Patrick from Longview, Washington. What's your question for Seven? Patrick, I think he's a little bit shy. Let's get to Andrew from Pennsylvania. You got a question for Seven.
Yo, I was wondering what album you thought that you worked on was better, in your opinion, Man of Elector by Brother Lynch or Black Gold. I personally, like you guys were saying, that with Self-Preservation, that was, like, my favorite song. Like, he really, really did it, you know. And with Brother Lynch, like, he's killer on Man of Elector with, like, Meat Cleaver, you know. And, you know, I was just asking, what do you think you produce better?
Oh, man, between the two, which I produced better on?
Yeah.
This is an impossible question for me to answer. It's just so different, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, two totally different things, you know what I mean? I guess if the sounds were comparable, then, you know, I might be able to say one way or the other, but, man, it's like night and day comparing the production on those two projects. You couldn't get more opposite, I don't think. So, they're both awesome to me.
Yeah, I know, but, like, which one did you work harder on, you think?
Oh,
like,
which one did I work harder on, you said?
Yeah.
We worked on Lynch's longer, you know, but, you know, we worked more, like, I guess, just focused more on cut because we had less time to do it, you know, so... that's a tough question to answer, you know, just because, I'd say Lynch's album was probably more trying, you know what I mean? It was more, like, thought, I guess, you know, like my mind was really, like, working hardest on that album because there were some things that we needed to do with the production, with some of the string arrangements, and everything is, like, really, really intricate with Lynch. If you listen to it, you know, there's, like, some piano and string arrangements. It's just, you know, it takes forever. It's, like, very intricate production. And Cut is more about, like, you know, just the overall feel of it. You know, it doesn't have to be so intricate. You know, it can just feel good. You know, it can be minimal tracks. You know what I mean? It just needs to hit hard and feel good. So, you know, from a production standpoint, Lynch's was probably, you know, definitely more, crying on my mind, you know.
And I really think you're an OG, like a real good producer, I would have to say. I don't really know anybody else that produces the music that you do, and like you actually, you know, like you were saying earlier, you like strive to like connect with them, and I just think that was good. And also,
thanks,
one more question before I leave, do you think you guys are going to do any more work with Twisted? You know, with the whole Abominations, I thought you did real well on that one, too.
Well, thanks, man. I've worked with Twisted for a long time. I mean, you know, they just put out the album. So, I'm sure whenever they, you know, start working on the next one, if they want me to be a part of that, I'm down. I'm ready.
Sweet. All right, well, thank you very much for answering my question, even though it was very hard. And keep it real, man.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Man, tough questions. Let's see. We're going to get to a few more callers later. Right now, everyone out there, if you're listening, you can call in 347-994-3066 and press 1. We are talking to Seven, producer behind Man of Elector, which is now available, and Cut Calhoun's Black Gold, which is now available for pre-order at strangemusicinc.net. Make sure you go pick that up. Next, we're going to talk about Cess Crew. Cess Crew just released a track with Tech N9ne from their upcoming album Constant Energy Struggles, and you can check that out on the Strange Music YouTube. It's causing a lot of buzz. It's the most downloaded song on AudioMac and made DJ Boost number one on their indie hip-hop charts. So my first question is, how exciting is it for you to work with new guys on the roster, and what was the most exciting thing for you about working with Cess Crew?
That's crazy. All that the stuff you just mentioned about Juice, I didn't even know that. That's crazy. Cess Crew, you know, the thing about them is they've been around Kansas City for a while now, you know, and I've never worked with them like this before, but I've been aware of them just because I'm from Kansas City. So, you know, I've known about them, and there was always talk of them, you know, Tech being interested in them and putting them on Strange for, you know, like a few years before it was actually, like, released that they were and everything. So I had been thinking, you know, what I could possibly do with a project like theirs and what I wanted to do. And they also are, you know, a group that's so different from everyone else. You know, I always looked at them like more like, you know, hip hop dudes than anything. You know what I mean? They could just really, they're like MCs, you know what I mean? At least that's kind of how they were known around Kansas City and everything. So there's some elements, like real, you know, grassroots hip hop elements that, we were able to do and on their album. You know, like you can kind of hear it in Juice when you listen to that song, which, like, I've always wanted to do a beat like that on Strange. I read a lot of comments about people saying, you know, they were surprised that I did the track and everything. They would never guess that it was me. But, I mean, like, I've been doing tracks like that for years. You know, before I did anything else, I did tracks like that. So it was so good to be able to finally, you know, produce some songs like that.
Yeah, do you take that as a compliment, though, when someone says, I would have never guessed that Seven produces?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I guess as long as, you know, they like it and everything, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that when I could surprise someone, they didn't know that I could do something like that or that I was capable of, you know, capturing that kind of sound. That's always really dope to me. So I'm glad that I could do that with Juice. Hopefully I do that with the whole album, with all the Seth Cruz album, you know, when you listen to the songs that I did on there. We really did some different shit on that album.
Yeah, definitely. Now, about them, what do you think they bring to Strange Music that nobody else really does?
Well, yeah, those dudes are, like, you know, young and hungry and, you know, they have this freshness, you know, and this, like, rawness, like, this hunger, you know. I mean, when you listen to this album, it's like these dudes are, like really, like, rapping for real, you know what I mean? Like, you can just, like, tell, like, the hunger, like, in them, you know. And that's always dope, you know, when you discover, like, a new artist or something, like these, you know, the new young dudes that are coming out that just sound so hungry, they just want it so bad, you know, and they just take, you know, such pride in what they do with lyrics and everything. And that's how Seth is, you know, they're those kind of dudes. And you can totally, you know, get that whole energy from this album.
When they came to you and asked you for beats, what did they say that they were looking for?
Well, you know, one thing, I remember listening to an earlier project of theirs, after I had that conversation with them, they wanted me to listen to the mixtape that they put out, which was The Playground. I know a lot of people probably heard that project, which is really dope, by the way. But I listened to that, you know, and we kind of decided amongst all of, you know, us that, you know, we wanted to do something different from that, you know, but still shows, like, what they're capable of as far as, you know, MCs go. So, you know, I guess we didn't, they didn't really give me any, like, super specific ideas about what they wanted to do, you know. We just sort of, you know, agreed to build off of The Playground, and we were going to make it different, but still try to capture some of those same, you know, elements that they did on The Playground.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's there are a lot of, not a lot, but there's similarities in spirit and kind of attitude, but it just seems like it's way bigger, adventurous.
Yeah, like they're the kind of dudes that I think they sound really good when they work one-on-one with a producer, you know, like they did The Playground with Lenny D, who's a producer from Kansas City, like an amazing producer, you know, like one of the best from the city, you know, Lenny D, and, you know, he's
what they did on the playground with Lenny V was just, you know, like crazy. I mean, it was like magic. You know, they just worked so good with him when they created that whole environment and that vibe, working one on one with a producer like that. You know, and they worked with Lenny again on the new album. So I'm so glad that he was able to work more with them, because what they do together is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. From what you've heard, and by the way, you know, for everyone out there, the album is called Constant Energy Struggles. It should be out for pre-order very soon. Make sure you check out Juice on Strange Music Inc.'s YouTube. But anyways, I'm asking you, from what you've heard, what can you tell me about this album?
About Constant Energy Struggle? Like what?
Yeah. I mean, like, what some of the sounds that they capture. I mean, if you were to give people a kind of a sneak preview of what to expect, what would you tell them?
Well, you know, we did some tracks on this that is actually just more like minimal production. A lot of my beats, you know, are super, you know, orchestrated and you know, and really, you know, like put together, you know, there's a lot going on with them. On this album, you know, I did some beats that was, you know, just really stripped down, you know, just drums, you know what I mean? And the bass line and just, you know, hits really hard, at some really creative tempos so they can really like flip and do some different things that they, you know what I mean? That they're known to do, as artists. And, I mean, I really can't think of any album that I've done this kind of like stripped down sound before on. It really just created the whole like platform for them to just go crazy on once the beats were stripped down like that, you know?
For sure. Do you have any, I know it's still early and they're still in the mastering phase and all that, but do you have any favorite songs from this album?
Yeah, there's a song on there called Meditate. It's just like crazy. I mean, the song is just like amazing. The song, so you meditate. There's another song called When Worlds Collide. So crazy. Juice was like one of my favorites. That song altogether, like, you know, when we did Juice, when we got done with it, they were like, yeah, we want to put Tech on this. And I was like, oh, for real? And they were like, yeah, let's put Tech on it. And I was like, okay, I would have never thought that, you know. And then I thought about it, so I'm like, man, this could be like a genius idea, you know, if Tech pulls this off, you know, and just kills this beat, you know, and kills the song, this could be so dope, you know, because Tech never gets on beats like that. So when Tech came through and did his verse on it and I heard it, I was like, oh, man, I can't believe, like, Tech killed it like that, you know, with them on it. It just makes for such a, like a historical track, you know, for them to do that kind of song and put Tech on it and everything. So like Juice is like one of my favorite songs I've done in a minute for Strange.
And you also have one on there, very, very different and interesting song that you guys did with Liz Suwandi called Smoke. What can you tell us about that song?
That one, you know, when I was working on that and the production and everything, I was really, you know, like listening to a lot of like Portishead, just more like weird experimental type of sounds, you know. And what I ended up doing on that, you know, is I took some guitar parts and actually reversed them and chopped them up again and did a bunch of weird things, you know, and then found some like dusty, grimy drums and put it underneath. I even tracked some live drum sounds and put it behind the beat on there also. So there's like some actual live hi-hats and some rides and everything on that track. So, I mean, of everything on the album, that's probably the most, I guess, experimental song, you know? When I was making that song, they had told me that they wanted to do a song with Liz. And to me, like, Liz is the kind of vocalist that, you know, she sounds good on a particular type of beat and a particular kind of song, you know. She can do anything good, but she really shines when she has the right kind of, you know, the right kind of canvas to do that on. So when I was making that beat, I really had her in mind for doing the song with Seth. You know, so that was sort of the goal when I was working on it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think they all killed it. It's one of those that's just, you don't even know what kind of song to call it. Obviously,
yeah,
it's hip-hop, but there's just, it's such a really cool combination of elements. Definitely props on that one. Now, if for fans out there, Strange Music, why do you think they should be excited for this release in particular from Seth's crew?
It's like, it's one of my favorite Strange releases, like, you know, of what we've done so far to release this year. I mean, this album just, it's, it goes, you know, I mean, it's really, really a great album. I mean, it just all came together so perfectly. You know, we ended up using the majority of the material that we recorded, you know. They ended up fitting it all on the album. And I was thinking the whole time, you know, when we were making it, I was like, oh, man, we got up there. We got to, like, you know, 21 songs, 22 songs. I was like, man, it's going to be impossible to choose, like, 14. Like, how are we going to, you know, I would be talking to them, like, you know, what songs are we possibly going to be able to cut, because they're just all so crazy. And I never feel that way about any album. I'm always like, okay, you know, I know that one's not going to make it. I know that one's not going to make it. I'm able to predict those things, you know, ahead of time. On that album, I was just like, oh man, these songs are just too crazy. I don't know what we're going to cut. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, some babies had to be sacrificed for sure on that one. Luckily, though, that'll make for a lot of bonus material for all you fans out there who do the pre-order thing, so make sure you look out for that. Now, if this album's, you know, obviously there's a lot of factors that go into the success of an album, but if it's pushed right and gets the right push, you know, which it should here at the Strange Music, gets the right push and the elements kind of align properly, what do you think this album could do for their career?
I mean, this album, if they work the singles the right way, these songs that, you know, they're talking about pushing, I mean, this could set everything off for them. It could really, like, put them in a position to, you know, be like, you know, the next on Strange, you know what I mean? Even beyond that, you know, I mean, those dudes are really good, you know? So, you know, this album gets received the way that I think it will be. This could mean everything for their career.
All right. That's a good word. That's a good word. So let's all hope that happens. As we wrap this up, man, we've talked about a lot. I want to know, though, what are you looking forward to the most for this year?
Tech's album. It's been, I mean, I've been really, really, like, this, his album, you know, we've been working, like, so hard on it right now. So much, like, greatness is coming right now from what we've been doing. I mean, I'm really looking forward just to all of these albums coming out. You know, there's a lot of them I was able to be, like, a big part of them. You know, some of them I wasn't, just because I was focused on other albums and everything. And my goal was never to try to come and, you know, just produce everything on Strange, you know, and produce every single album that comes out. I never wanted to do that. You know, I just wanted to be able to, you know, pick and choose different projects and just, you know, work one-on-one with those projects and do with other artists what me and Chris did with Kicking and Screaming. You know, that was kind of the thing. So for me, you know, this year it's going to be, like, I think a lot of albums that I produce the majority of them, and then other albums where I didn't barely do anything on, you know, which is fine. You know, I think they're all going to be dope albums, but it's going to be an interesting year.
There's a lot going on, man, but and so we know you're going to be staying busy. We hope the best for you and, you know, everything that happens this year. It's definitely going to be one to watch. Before we get out of here, let's take a few more calls from fans. We got Patrick from Longview, Washington. What's your question for Seven?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
I'm just on my way to work. But what was your biggest, let me see, I should say this. What made you want to produce beats? Like, what was your biggest drive in the, like, succeeding in making beats?
What made me want to make beats? Well, I mean, you know, I was always into to music since, you know, since a young kid. And I played piano from a young age when I was 7. And, you know, I was, you know, really interested in computers. And I think that, you know, when I was like 9, 10, 11, I kind of just mixed the two, you know what I mean? Like recording and, you know, what I was able to do with instruments and everything and just kind of, you know, but I mean, I was interested in DJing, and so, you know, there was a point in my life where I DJed a lot, and it all just sort of evolved into making tracks. So, I mean, yeah, you know, since I was, you know, since I was a kid, since I was 10 years old, this is all I've ever wanted to do is just make beats.
All right. Question, Patrick from Longview. Let's get to Val from Jersey. What's your question for 7?
Hey, what's going on, 7?
What's up, man?
Hey, I was I wanted to know, like what was your mindset when you were producing on Manuel Lector? Because obviously lyrics can set a tone, but at the same time, your production always has a feeling behind it. So I was wondering, like, what was your approach when you had to produce on Manuel Lector?
Yeah, you know, whenever I do, like, Lynch's albums, you know, I was, like, in a really, like, dark kind of place, you know, and I think that the most important thing with Lynch's projects is that it sounds like it can be the score to a horror movie, you know, so a lot of the beats, you know, sort of come from that, you know, like, I'll do a lot of it, you know, almost, like, just pretend like I'm scoring a horror movie, you know what I mean, like, I'll do the whole string, you know, the string compositions and the piano parts and all of the arrangements and then kind of turn it into a beat later on, you know what I mean? Like add the drums and add the chops and add everything else like later, you know what I mean? But if you take drums away from Lynch's albums, just, you know, just mute the drums, you know, and just play everything else, I mean, it'll just sound like a straight like horror movie soundtrack, you know, and that's kind of the approach whenever I work on his albums.
All right. Good question, Val. I want to thank everyone for calling in that called in today and everyone out there listening. 7, thank you for coming down here to do this. Do you have anything you want to say to the fans before we get out of here?
Just get ready for this year. It's going to be a big one, I think. So just get ready.
All right. Well, you heard it from a man. There you have it, strangers. That was 7 talking to us about the albums you're going to have in your hands and might have in your hands right now. Make sure you go to strangemusicinc.com or .net, excuse me, strangemusicinc.net, cop Manuel Lector, pre-order Cut Calhoun's Black Gold while you still can. We want to thank 7 for coming down and talking to us and telling us what went into these albums, which are sure to make your 2013 a very strange one indeed. Until next time, as always, thank you very much for listening, and keep it strange.
Strange Music.